The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Drop, and I'm your host, Katie Drop. Well, that was a pretty solid weekend of wild card weekend for football, because really only one of the games was disappointing. But other than that, four of the five games from the weekend were close. They were good, and they came down to the end and got us started off with exactly what I wanted, and that is, bye Eagles, bye. You are not going to the Super Bowl. Ha 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 ha. So at least we got the Eagles gone. So whatever else happens, that's cool. But definitely at least the Eagles are gone. So we'll see what else happens. But great weekend of football. So let's get right into wild card weekend and see how it turned out. Beginning with the Los Angeles Rams at the Carolina Panthers. Gotta say, the Carolina Panthers actually showed up for this one, because you never know what you're getting with the Panthers this season. Their defense, always going to show out. They're going to cause some turnovers. They're going to cause some ruckus. But it's that offense. You never know if that offense is going to come out and lay a dud, or if they're going to show out. And actually, they almost won this game. They took it to the brink. And it really never got out of hand either. I mean, at first, it kind of looked like the Rams were going to run away with it. But then it just, the Panthers turned it on, and it just went back and forth the entire game. But the Rams were able to put it together on the last drive for them. It was they ended up getting the win 34-31. Matthew Stafford had a fantastic game, 24-42, 304 yards and 3 touchdowns. And, you know, Devontae Adams, Nacua, both of those guys, they were key in this one. But, you know, like I said, though, this Panthers defense, they came to play. They actually caused a couple of turnovers as well. And they just did not make it easy at all for the Rams. But the Rams do move on. Looked like they were going to be close to upset. And I was, at first, I was like, damn, I kind of feel like the Rams are going to get upset once the Panthers took the lead, simply because it just, that's just how the season has gone. But the Rams were able to hang on. They were able to get the touchdown from Stafford to Parkinson in the end there, and walk away with the win and move on to the divisional round. Then on Saturday night, we also had the Green Bay Packers at the Chicago Bears, and this game went exactly as the Bears have done all season long. They were down and out in this game. I was looking at this game like, shit, we go into halftime, it is 21-3 Packers. So it's looking like, where the fuck is this Bears team? And, you know, always in the back of my head, I was thinking, you know, this team has come back. They've done this already. They've done it against the Packers once this season. They know how to do it. They're at home. We'll see. But it just kind of felt like as the game kept dragging on, you're like, whoa. So then we hit the fourth quarter, and that's when the Bears really turned it on. And as a matter of fact, the Bears scored 25 points in the third quarter. They were down by 18 at one point, and they ended up getting the win 31-27. Packers definitely choked this one away. I don't know what their defense was doing in this fourth quarter, but they were just getting toasted. You know, at first it was looking like just Caleb Williams was going to have to do everything. And his receivers were dropping some easy passes, and it just was not looking good at all for the Bears. And then just all of a sudden, they just started to put it together. The Packers' defense just started to fade away. And then once the Bears took the lead, you could tell that they just took the Packers' hearts. Jordan Love on the sideline, it looked like he was defeated and done even before he walked out onto the field to try and get them in position to try and get this win. But the Bears kept it together, and they got the win, 31-27. Caleb Williams, like I said, had a great game, 24-48, 361 yards and 2 touchdowns. Would have been more had some receivers caught some passes, but still, I mean, he was playing with ice in his veins that night, and you just cannot count the Chicago Bears team out. But I will say, like I said, the Packers definitely choked that one away. It kind of felt like they, because, you know, as the Bears were making their way back, it looked like the Packers, you know, they go up, they score another touchdown, and they go up even more, and you're thinking, oh, man, this is done. There's no way the Bears are coming back from this, and then all of a sudden, they just go ice cold. The Bears come out, and their offense is just unstoppable in that fourth quarter, and they move on. So whoever faces them better not let up the gas. That's just what I'm saying when it comes to the Bears. If you are going up against the Bears, you cannot let up against this team because they are going to 25 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, what the fuck? And they couldn't muster up more than 6 points up until that point. It was just a crazy game to watch, but another spectacular game to watch. And just a crazy way for the Packers to lose as well. Then another good game we had was between the Buffalo Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars. This one was back and forth all day as well, all the way up until the bitter end. As a matter of fact, it was Trevor Lawrence who pretty much blew it in the end there. Now, got to say, he had a good game otherwise, but he comes out on this final drive. There's like a minute left to go. All the Jaguars got to do is just get down the field, score some points. And I don't know what it was with them yesterday, but they really went away with got away from the running game. Which is what has been their bread and butter when their offense is on, and they just weren't going to it for some reason, and just was not a good day for the Jaguars. They just were not able to hold on, and Trevor Lawrence just throws the interception in the end. The Bills are able to just hang on and get the win 27-24, but it was back and forth a whole game. Every time one of them would score, it'd be like, whoa, is this team winning? It could have gone either way in this one, but it went the Bills' way in this one just because their defense stepped it up in the end. And like I said, I think the Jaguars made a huge mistake by going away from ETN. But that Bills' defense really clamped it down as well, so you got to give it up to them. Josh Allen, he got his ass beat yesterday. It was three straight drives. He was injured. He injured his hand. He injured his knee, I believe. And there was one other thing. I can't remember what else he injured, but he had three straight drives where he injured something, and you're looking at it like, dude, is this dude going to make it through the game? He did. He went 28 for 35, 273 yards and a touchdown. So just a fantastic game from him, even though he was getting his ass beat. And also really no ground attack from the Bills either. This was a very weird game from both teams. That's why I was like, it could have gone either way, ended up going the Bills' way, but they're definitely going to have to step it up next week because I don't think you're going to be able to just eke out a win versus some of these teams. I believe they're going to be playing the Broncos next week. I can't recall, but I think that's who they're going up against. And if that's the case, they better look out just because the Broncos' defense ain't nothing to fuck with, and if they're able to just get at Josh Allen, it's going to be a problem. But the Bills were able to get away with that one, and they got the win 27-24. Then we had the San Francisco 49ers at the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Niners were able to hang on to this one, and they lost another big player. George Kittle tore his Achilles, so he is not only done for the rest of the playoffs, but that is most certainly going to linger on into next year, and it kind of actually makes me question what's his future for his career hold, just because, I mean, he is starting to get up there in years. He's a very injury-prone player, fantastic player, but he just suffers some of these really debilitating injuries, and a torn Achilles is a really difficult one to come back from. He's a tight end, so he's running around a lot and blocking as well, so he's stuck in that crouched position at times during the game. So, but even so, they were still able to hang on to this win. Brock Purdy, even though he threw two interceptions, still went 18 for 31, 262 yards and two touchdowns, and just made the big plays when they had to. Christian McCaffrey made some big plays. Man, he had this beautiful touchdown. They had this great trick play, the throw was not that good. It was actually over his shoulder, and it really, if you look at it, it was a very difficult play for him to make, and he made it, and I would say that was basically the play of the game. Really just because the Niners really just never looked back from there. And also, it was kind of weird from the Eagles, you know, I mean, their offense, they basically played the same game that they've played all season long, where you just don't know what you're going to get from their offense. It looked like they were going to get going behind Barkley. I mean, he had 106 yards on the ground, but then the fourth quarter hit, and they just cold went away from Barkley. And I thought that was just weird because it's not like they were down by a lot. A.J. Brown had a couple of drop passes, a real huge key one. I think I was 3rd and 11 on their final drive. And just very stagnant game from their offense, but their defense played a really good game. But the Niners were just able to hang on, make the bigger plays in the end. Had a big game from their receiver Robinson, because they have like no receivers playing right now. I mean, they literally are on like their fifth, sixth, and seventh linebackers at this point in time. I mean, it is crazy how the Niners are actually able to make it to the divisional round. I don't think they're going to make the Super Bowl just because of how decimated this roster is. But I mean, hell, they keep making it. They still keep pushing through each and every week. But man, losing Kittle is just another blow. And it's like, man, they have lost like every single dude on this roster, other than McCaffrey, which is just shocking because he's usually the one who you're missing. But they got a big game against Seattle next week, but this was a huge win for them over the Eagles, just because, you know, this is the defending Super Bowl champions. Thankfully, we don't have to hear from the Eagles until next year, so I'm thrilled by that. As I stated on Friday's show, for the Super Bowl, I was rooting for anybody but the Eagles. So now it's just sit back and watch and enjoy the show, but just I'm very happy that not only do we not have the Eagles going in, but it looks like, for the most part, we're going to have somebody new here. I mean, yeah, the Niners were in it a couple years ago, so that's not really a new team. But for the most part, the Rams not really a new team either. But for the most part, we're getting some relatively new teams coming up. So it looks like we might get a new champion here, depending on how the rest of these games go. But very happy to see the Eagles lose in yesterday's divisional matchup. Then the Sunday Night Football matchup was a total snooze fest. Nobody wanted to win this game between the Los Angeles Chargers and the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots were able to hang on 16-3. They were able to finally muster up a touchdown in the fourth quarter. It was literally 6-3 at halftime, and then 9-3 all the way up until the fourth quarter. This was a shit show. I mean, turnovers galore from both teams. And I don't know what it is. I've said it on numerous occasions, but these teams with good-ass quarterbacks like Justin Herbert, how do you not get this guy an offensive line? He was on his ass. I mean, he was getting torn. I can't even imagine how hurt Herbert is feeling today. That guy, he's probably feeling his entire body probably hurts today. And he just took a beating last night. None of his receivers could catch. I felt bad for Herbert. And yeah, he didn't play the greatest game, but Jesus Christ, he took some shots. And I'm like, man, this Patriots defense came to play. That was it. That was the only good thing about last night's game, is that Patriots defense, they will knock you the fuck out. But other than that, there was no offense at all. The offense was horrific from both teams. And like I said, neither team wanted to win this. And, you know, like I said about the Patriots, I really haven't believed in them because they've just beaten up a bunch of shit for this season. And last night's game kind of showed. So we'll see what they've got next week. But, I'm feeling it for Herbert this morning because he probably just is not feeling great today. He took some massive ass hits. I'm actually kind of shocked he was able to get up from one of them, because he just took a shot to the chest that was just, whoa. But terrible game. Patriots got the win 16-3, and that was that. So we have one more game tonight between the Houston Texans at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the Texans are a three-point favorite. And, you know, I think this is going to be it's a cold game in Pittsburgh, so I'm expecting this to be all defense. I really think this is going to be one of those sloppy, ugly defensive games. Wouldn't be shocked if we see either defense or both defenses not only get some turnovers, but actually score some points with those turnovers. They may actually need their defenses to score some points to get them some points, because both of these offenses are very suspect. I do trust the Steelers way more, though, in this situation than I do the Texans, simply because the Steelers have Aaron Rodgers. I feel like he's going to make the key plays that need to be made. But I feel like this is going to be just all defense all night. I don't expect either offense to really get it going. That one offense might get like one drive going, and that could be the difference. But I'm expecting field goals. I'm expecting quarterbacks on their asses. I'm expecting turnovers, but I also have the Steelers winning this one 17-14. Like I said, I trust the Steelers more in this situation. I think their defense is better. I trust Mike Tomlin more. I also trust Aaron Rodgers more. And this offense seems to make the bigger plays down the stretch, whereas the Texans, their defense is fantastic, but their offense is just anemic at best. And they've had a couple of good games offensively, but for the most part, I just don't see it from the Texans. So I have the Pittsburgh Steelers moving on tonight. So let's move on to the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. And we probably, had I done them last week, we probably would have had a new number one simply because Oklahoma City actually was slumping last week. But they got it together, and they are now back at number one for me this week. Oklahoma City Thunder, overall record on the season, 33-7. And, you know, like I said, their slump was like, I think they lost like one or two out of one games or something. Like, there was like three games where they didn't look good. But now they're back at it. This past week, they lost to the Charlotte Hornets, which was one of the games where you're like, what the fuck? But then they got it back together. Now they're on a three-game winning streak where they beat the Utah Jazz, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Miami Heat. And they just look like just the same overall fantastic team. Right now, they're second in the league, averaging 121.4 points per game. They're third in the league in field goal percentage, knocking down 48.9% of their shots. So nearly half of their shots are going down. And SGA having another fantastic year. They just look like they did last year, playing great, fantastic basketball, and they are right back at it. Their slump was for a week, and I pretty much expect that to be their only slump. But they do have the San Antonio Spurs coming up this week, so we'll see what happens after that. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Detroit Pistons, overall record of 28-10. This past week, they demolished the New York Knicks. They beat the Chicago Bulls and then lost to the Clippers. And they're playing great, even with Durant out. Jared Durant, he's going to be out, it looks like, a couple of weeks for sure. Could potentially be about a month, but he's nursing an injury right now. But even so, they are still dominating the paint. They are still playing excellent basketball. And we'll see if they're able to keep it moving, but they are still the top team in the Eastern Conference. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the San Antonio Spurs, overall record of 27-12. This past week, they lost to the Memphis Grizzlies, beat the Los Angeles Lakers, beat the Boston Celtics, and then lost a crazy one last night to the Minnesota Timberwolves. But that's just kind of the thing with the Spurs is they get some big wins and then they get some weird losses. And last night was a total just complete meltdown. They were up by 18 points at one point, and or 19 points actually. And then they just completely melted down in the fourth quarter and then just completely lost it. So that might just be their youth, because they are a very young team, but they're still a fantastic team. I mean, they're absolutely dominating the paint right now, especially now that Wemby's back. So I just expect this team to start getting better, especially now that we're getting towards the midway point of the season. We've got about a month until the All-Star break, and so we'll see what the Spurs got for this next month upcoming and then headed down the stretch into the second half of the season. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 26-13. This past week, they beat the Philadelphia 76ers, the Boston Celtics, lost to the Atlanta Hawks, and then beat the Milwaukee Bucks. And they are still winning, even with no Nikola Jokic. I thought no Jokic was going to be a huge deal, and it's actually turned out to not be. And Jamal Murray's been in and out of the lineup as well. I mean, it's kind of crazy because last year the Nuggets had a lot of injuries and weren't really able to overcome it. This year they've had a lot of injuries to a lot of key players, and they are overcoming it. They are still in first place in every scoring category right now. First in field goal percentage, knocking down 50.2% of their shots. First in three-point percentage, knocking down 40.2% of their three-pointers. And then first in points per game, averaging 122.7 points per game. So they are still knocking down the shots. They are still looking fantastic, and Jokic is not playing. So, and that's what they definitely need. They need to, because Jokic is going to be out about a month. It's looking like, so, I mean, they're definitely going to need to keep getting these wins while Jokic is out, and then he comes back and boom, they get the triple-double king back and they'll be right back at it. But it's kind of crazy to see how well they're playing without Jokic, because I did not think that was going to be the case at all. As a matter of fact, I felt like they were going to completely fall apart, and they have yet to do so. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that is getting really hot, and that is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 26-14. This past week, they beat the Miami Heat, the Cleveland Cavaliers, then lost to the Cavaliers, and then beat the San Antonio Spurs. And like I just said, they came back down 19 in the fourth quarter. I mean, this was a blowout by the Spurs, and then just all of a sudden, Anthony Edwards starts turning it on. They start turning on the defense, and they really just get going. And the thing about this Timberwolves team, why I think they're one of the hottest teams in the league is, I mean, they are in the toughest division, and they're still keeping up with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets. Those are their division rivals, and they're still keeping pace. And I've got them at number five, and it's just because, really, obviously to me, Oklahoma City and Denver have won championships, so they've got a little bit more clout than the Timberwolves do, but the Timberwolves look really good. And I kind of feel like if they're able to just put it together defensively and play a little bit more consistently on the defensive side of the ball, you really got to look out for this Minnesota Timberwolves team because Anthony Edwards is on some. We're talking about a lot of players this year having great seasons. Well, Anthony Edwards continues to have a fantastic year and another fantastic season, and he is why this team is playing so well, and he's why they turned it on against a really damn good San Antonio Spurs team last night. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that is starting to fall apart. They're really up and down this year, and that is the New York Knicks. Overall record of 25-14. This past week, they lost to the Detroit Pistons, beat the Clippers, lost to the Phoenix Suns, and then beat the Portland Trailblazers. And it's just defensively, they're not looking as hot as they were to start the season. So we'll see what they've got. It might be just kind of one of those things where there's, you know, they're going to have those lulls throughout the season. But right now it's just, they're down, then they go up, then they down. It's just, they haven't played very consistent basketball over the last couple of weeks, and it's mostly because of their defense. But still, the Eastern Conference is pretty anemic, so I still expect, even if the Knicks play halfway decent, they should still be right up there for the playoffs. They really have no issues there, but of course they want to play well just because they want to be taken serious as a championship contender. And right now, they're not serious because they're not playing consistent basketball, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Boston Celtics, overall record of 24-14. This past week, they beat the Chicago Bulls, lost to the Denver Nuggets, beat the Toronto Raptors, and then lost to the San Antonio Spurs. Jaylen Brown has been having a phenomenal year. Unfortunately, he just suffered an injury over the weekend. So, and it doesn't look like it's going to be anything like season ending or anything of that nature. It looks like it's only going to be like a couple of games here and there that he misses. But that just goes to show you he has been carrying the load on his back with this team because that's what he's out with, back spasms right now. And it's been all him. He's been the reason why they've won so many games so far. He's been clutch in the performances that they've needed him in. It's just really, it's him and everybody else. He just has to hope somebody else is able to step up until Jason Tatum gets back, and who knows when that's going to be. But we'll see if that injury, you know, sets them back just a bit, because they really were starting to find some consistent basketball behind Brown over the last month of basketball. But now that he's injured, that could take the wind out of their sails. But once again, it's the Eastern Conference. And so lucky for them, even if they lose a few games without Brown, it's not going to take them out of the playoffs or anything like that. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that is falling, and that is my Los Angeles Lakers. They are 23-13 on the season. This past week, they beat the New Orleans Pelicans, lost to the San Antonio Spurs, and then lost to the Milwaukee Bucks. And they are just not playing well with no Reeves. But then defensively not playing well, the bench, some of these guys, they just are not playing good basketball at all right now. It's just Luka is playing great, and then you never know what you're going to get from the rest of the team, and this includes LeBron. You know, LeBron's not playing terrible basketball or anything like that. It's just he's not playing dominating basketball. He's not really – it's just basically Luka is the only one who's doing it. And then, of course, like I said, Reeves is injured, and I knew that was going to be a big deal because Reeves was having such a solid year until the injury. So naturally, that was going to take some of the wind out of their sails, but they are just not playing good basketball at all right now. They're getting dominated in the paint They're not good on the rebounding side of the ball. They just are, they're just not good right now. And they just keep on falling. And they really need to step it up, especially defensively, because they are not looking good on the defensive side of the ball. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, another team that is falling, and that is the Houston Rockets. Overall record of 22-14. This past week, they beat the Phoenix Suns, lost to the Portland Trail Blazers twice, and then lost to the Sacramento Kings. The only good thing that happened this week was for them was Kevin Durant. He moved up to number 7 on the all-time scoring list, passing Wilt Chamberlain, which says a lot. I mean, number 7, just if you're top 10 in scoring, that just says a lot already. But you're passing up Wilt Chamberlain, a dude who has scored 100 points in a game. So, I mean, Chamberlain... his middle name is scoring, because that's all that motherfucker did was score points and score chicks as well, if you don't know. But Kevin Durant, that was about the only good thing that happened this week for the Rockets, was him passing Chamberlain on the all-time scoring list. But other than that, this is another team that's having issues defensively. And then they're also having issues when Kevin Durant is actually out of the game or not playing in a game. Nobody else is stepping it up. And then, you know, they've had Şengün has been battling through some injuries. So I kind of feel like the injury bug is not only biting them, but they're also having some issues on the defensive side of the ball. And that's what I'm also, you know, that seems to be a theme with some of these teams that are falling back right now, is that defensively, not playing well. They're scoring out of their mind, but not playing well. And then, like I said, Timberwolves playing well on the defensive side of the ball and scoring a lot of points. And look, they're beating teams like the Spurs. So you definitely got to step it up on the defensive side of the ball, even if you are able to score out of your mind. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings, probably one of the hottest teams right now for the last couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, I mean, they've beat some good teams. They've had some game winners. And they just played really, really solid basketball. And it's mostly due to one player at this point in time, and that is the Phoenix Suns. Overall record of 24-15. This past week, they lost to the Houston Rockets, beat the Memphis Grizzlies, beat the New York Knicks, and beat the Washington Wizards. And it is the Devin Booker show. He had a game winner against Oklahoma City. I was actually in Phoenix last weekend, and I was actually really considering going to that Oklahoma City game because they were in town. I'm like, I want it, but then I wanted to go. But then on Monday, I was leaving so fucking early in the morning. I was like, I had to get up at 4 on Monday. So I'm like, I don't really want to go. Turns out I should have gone, because Devin Booker hit this amazing game winner to seal the deal over the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, but I mean, he's had a few game winners. He's been taking over some games. And I mean, like I said, it's pretty much been all Devin Booker. So I don't know what's kicked into the Suns. I don't know if it's going to last, because that's just kind of the thing with the Suns, is they're usually an up and down team. But got to give them their shout out when I got to. And you know, they've been playing really well the last 3 weeks, just not top 10 worthy up until now. And you know, they're beating good teams. They're winning in different ways. And like I said, Devin Booker is really just having a phenomenal year. And he's pretty much doing it all himself right now. So the Suns are another team that's battling through a lot of injuries to a lot of their other dudes. But Booker, he has been the typical Devin Booker show, just knocking down shots and being a fantastic player. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Friday.